Time for Thursday Money News. And Shane Oliver, Chief Economist with AMP, is on the line. Shane, good morning to you. A big day today. Well, is it? It's you economists, you nerds, get very, very excited on days like today because the job figures come out. Question, what are you expecting and how accurate are they at the end of the day?
Look, they're roughly right, but often precisely wrong. It is based on a survey.
Hang on. Say that again. This is like negative growth, folks. This is like negative
growth. It is a bit like me. Well, they're, I like to say they're roughly right. They give you a broad pointer as to direction. But to say that there was 20,000 jobs, you know, there's no way that that can be precisely right. So that's what I mean, that they don't have the precision that you might expect from them, even though they can be roughly right. So the saying is they're roughly right, but precisely wrong. Bit of jargon there.
I know. It's an economist joke, folks. All the accountants listening to us this morning, and I'm sure there's millions of them, will be smiling wryly to themselves. So what are you expecting?
Well, these numbers do bounce around a bit, and that's to the point that we're getting at there, that they are based on a survey. They're not actual truth about how many jobs there were. It's based on a survey of households. And so it gives a good guide, but it's not perfect. We expect around 30,000, 40,000 new jobs to be created. Don't forget the previous month for January, because these are February numbers, showed quite a sharp fall. And, of course, that was on the back of volatility. I know as December was down and January was virtually flat. So we're expecting a bit of a rebound after that. That said, it's likely that we're going to see more people entering the workforce. This is the so-called participation rate. And it's likely to have risen a little bit. So even though we're going to see jobs growth, we'll probably see the unemployment rate little changed. If anything, it might edge down a little bit because of the strong growth in jobs, but not much in it. So the basic picture here, where they're roughly right, unemployment towards the end of 2022 was measured at 3.4%. Now it's at 4.1%. I think that's a clear indication the labour market is slowing down. We're seeing less job vacancies out there, less job ads. Business hiring plans have cooled down. But obviously, unemployment's still fairly low, and these numbers can bounce around a bit.
Okay, God, I've got so many questions. When you say jobs, are we talking full-time jobs or are we talking somebody working part-time twice a week?
It can be both. The Bureau of Statistics counts any job as a job, whether it's part-time or full-time.
Even if you've only worked 1 hour in a fortnight?
That's right. You'll be counted as employed.
Yeah.
So that's part of the roughly right. They're not, very precise. All sorts of issues around that. What we've been seeing recently is somewhat more part-time jobs than full-time jobs, which also is another sign the labour market is slowing down. Companies are less inclined to put full-time workers on, or in some cases, they're switching full-time workers into part-time workers, which is not normally a good thing. So you're starting to see an upwards drift in the underemployment rate. That's where people might only work an hour or two a week, usually more than that, but they want to work more hours. Which is just another sign that the labour market is getting a bit softer.
Are you surprised that as far as unemployment's concerned, Australia's in pretty good shape, considering retail figures are down, spending is down, the economy, I don't know how it survived. I know when the GDP figures came out a couple of weeks ago, we narrowly missed being in a recession. Are you surprised that we're in such a healthy state as far as unemployment's concerned?
Look, to be honest with you, I am, Luke. You know, those numbers, the latest number we got for January, 4.1%, that's still pretty low. Historically, you had to go back to 1974, I think it is, to get numbers as low as we've seen in the last year or so. So those numbers the labour market has held up reasonably well. And I think that's partly a reflection of the shortage of workers that we've had in Australia, but also the economy. You'd have to say it's held up better than might have been feared. But that said, it is starting to soften, and we are starting to see that in other countries as well.
But the debate concerning immigration continues to roar, and nearly 500,000 immigrants to Australia last year. They're expecting this year will be roughly the same. And if it wasn't for those immigrants or the high numbers of immigration, we may well have found ourselves into a recession.
That's right. That's what's keeping the economy growing, because if you turn it into percentage terms, the population is roughly growing at 2.5%. So we got 2.5% more people coming to the country every year, which means growth in demand for things in shops and elsewhere going up by 2.5%, all things being equal. Now, of course, the average person is actually cutting back their spending in response to the cost of living pressures, the rise in interest rates, and so on. But that strength in immigration is sort of keeping us going. If you didn't have that, yes, we probably would be in recession.
Do you have the figures off the top of your head? What's the birth rate in Australia? Do you know that off the top of
Look, I, it's I think it's about 1.7 or 1.8. So for every, they usually measure it, for every female, it's about 1.8. Every the birth rate for an average female is about 1.7 or 1.8, which is below replacement.
That's what I'm
You
saying.
need something like 2.1.
That's what that's the
You
point
need
I'm.
something like 2.1 babies per female. So we've slipped below that. It's a lot worse than many other countries. It's down to one or something. Even in China, they struggle to get up from a one child policy, even though they relaxed it. But we're doing better than other countries. We've got a higher birth rate than many other countries, but it's the immigration numbers that keep our population going compared to other countries as well.
Shane Oliver is with us, Chief Economist with AMP. Quickly, how soon until we're selling wine and lobster to China, do you reckon?
Well, I think it's getting closer. I think the wine decision probably will come sooner, possibly sometime in the next few months. I haven't been keeping up to date with lobster, but it may soon follow. So that will certainly be good news if that happens. Will it cause a bit of change in my forecast for the Aussie economy? No. But if you're a lobster producer in Tasmania or wherever they come from, or a wine producer, you'd certainly say that would be good news once those restrictions are gone.
Let's have a look at the markets. What's happened?
Well, a bit of a dull day yesterday. I wouldn't say that. It ended kind of dull, but it started kind of exciting. The market was up something like 30, 35 points at the open, following a good gains on Wall Street. And then as the day wore on, we gave up those gains. So we actually ended up in the red slightly, down 7 points or 0.1%, just below 7,000 on the ASX 200. Mix of sectors, banks and miners were down. And the biggest losers in the market yesterday were the banks and the miners, particularly South32, I think, had some issues with a manganese mine or project in Northern Territory, which they've had to shut down because of a cyclone in the Northern Territory at
That's
present.
right.
So that's a bit of a drag. Energy shares were up. They were up about 0.6%. And that's on the back of the oil price, which is continuing, unfortunately, to push higher. Which I say unfortunately because I drive my Holden around and it's costing me more to fill up the tank in the thing, but obviously good for Australian energy producers.
Shane, the thing that still baffles me is this wave of business failures in construction that we keep seeing. What do you put that down to?
Well, the numbers are actually quite bleak. We're seeing the highest number of insolvencies, business failures in almost a decade. Now, of course, if you divide it into there being a high number of companies today, then on a percentage basis, it's not as bad, but it is rising. And construction companies have headed the list. And the reason that is because, as you know, a lot of construction companies sign a contract with the buyer of the property, whether it's a residential or commercial property, for a fixed price, or they were a couple of years ago. Then they suddenly find the cost of the materials have gone through the roof, or they can't get the labor. And when they can't get the labor, it delays the whole thing. So they ended up paying more anyway. And then on top of all of this, they've had to pay higher interest rates on their debt.
Yeah.
So that explains what's
Yeah.
happening with our construction companies. It's really sad in a way because we need those companies to help build homes in Australia because we have a shortage of them. If they're
Precisely.
going out backwards, which they have been, not so good for solving the housing shortage.
Precisely. Finish off with the Australian dollar.
Aussie dollar pretty much in the doldrums, 65.3 US cents. It took that hit the other day when the RBA sounded a bit more dovish on interest rates, which saw a bit of money come out of Australia and go back to the US perhaps, but not a lot in it, still hanging above that 65 level.
Thank you, Shane. Talk tomorrow.
Thanks, Luke. Have a good one.
Shane Oliver, or Captain Ollie, as I like to call him, Chief Economist with AMP.